Well, good morning. Welcome to everyone. So good to see all of you here this morning. Isn't it great to get our service started with a praise song like that? We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Okay, just a few announcements here as you begin, or as we begin inside our bulletins. Just a note, again, this flyer is in here to remind you that this Sunday is the beginning of our Lenten services for the North River community. That's going to be at the Sangersville Church of the Brethren. It starts this evening. I hope that you're able to come out and participate in that. I'm trying to think. Didn't have it. Oh, yeah. 6 o'clock is when it starts. 6 o'clock, Sangersville Church of the Brethren. This Sunday is the cry for deliverance will be the message that is shared. Pastor John from Mount Olivet United Brethren will be there to share with us. So I hope that you can come and be a part of that. Also, it says just bring a snack and we're going to have some fellowship time at the end of the service there. The service will last about an hour and some fellowship time after that as well. Also, just note on the back there, there's also an announcement for a sunrise service that will be at Natural Chimneys Park, 7 o'clock a.m. there on Easter Sunday. Also, just want to make an announcement, a reminder about the 9th of April. That's going to be our Easter egg hunt here at the church. That's going to start at 1 o'clock. And we want you to invite the community, family, friends, children that would like to come participate in that. We've hung some signs up to let people know about it as well, down at the store and other places, just to let people know that we have over 1,000 eggs that will be out there for the kids. And we kind of separate the little ones from the big ones so that there isn't a whole lot of competition there for the little guys. They'll have plenty of time to pick up the eggs. So we hope that you come and bring your nieces and nephews and cousins and all that good stuff, and we hope to have a good turnout for that. Also, we're still collecting candy donations for the Easter egg hunt. If you're filling 1,000 eggs, that's a lot of candy, isn't it? So we need help with that. We have some donations. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday that you can bring that, because following the service, they will be packing those eggs. And I'd been asked if your child is going to stay to pack, if you would just let Deborah or one of the ones in Children's Church know so that they can have an idea how many will be here. I think they're going to get some pizza and just have a pizza party there for the kids, and then they're going to work together to pack the eggs. So, just see Deborah or one of the others from the children's group to let them know that your child will be coming. Also, just a note as well, on Easter Sunday, they're going to have a youth group Easter breakfast here. And we're looking forward to that. It's just kind of going to be continental-style breakfast, but they're going to collect donations for the youth. And so I hope that you can come early on that Sunday and just participate. Also, just a note that we will not have Sunday school on Easter Sunday because of the Easter breakfast. But there still be, you're able to come and still have that fellowship time together. So just want to make sure that you're aware of that also. Also, there's some other things on there to keep note of. The North River Beautification Day on April 9th as well. And just some other things there. Also, our Love Feast service. So just kind of keep all this in mind as we move towards Easter. Just a lot happening and a lot of good things in the church. So hope that you take advantage of all these opportunities that you provided to worship and fellowship with others during this season of Lent. Is there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Janet? Yep.
And also Virginia Ravikus, who is one of our shut-ins, her birthday is tomorrow, and her address is in the bulletin here.
Yep.
I know they would really appreciate it.
Thank you, Janet, for reminding me. If you did not hear Janet, there's two birthdays this week, and one is for Virginia Radebush. Her address is in the bulletin. The other is for Jean Armstrong, and you can find her address in the directory. So... We what a pick-me-up that would be for both of them, I know, especially for Jean. She's going through the cancer treatments. Maybe you don't know Jean personally, but that's okay. You just put on the card, happy birthday from Moscow and who you are. I know that will mean a whole lot to her. And we really appreciate that. So, any other announcements? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this glorious day again, this season of Lent, Lord, in which we turn our hearts towards the blessing, the gift that we've been given, which is through your Son Jesus, his death and resurrection. Lord, we praise him for that. Lord, we thank you for that gift of salvation and hope that he brings to all people through Easter. And Lord, we just praise you here this morning. Just pray that our offerings and our giving unto you, Lord, is just received up into your kingdom, Lord, and that you are blessed by our worship here together. We praise you and we worship you in your Son Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning for our call to worship. You'll find this inside your bulletin. This comes from portions of John chapter 15, in the words of Jesus. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Let's turn our hymnals, page 435. What a friend that we have in Jesus. Page 435.
What a privilege to carry
may be seated. I'd like to take just a couple minutes to gather any of your prayer requests or praises that you would like to share. One prayer request I was reminded of here this morning was, if you would put Carlton Simmons in your prayer, on your prayer list, if you would. I got word this past week that Carlton had a bleed on the brain. That is Randy Simmons, his brother. And Carlton had a scare that they were looking for a bleed on Carlton's brain. I think they went to UVA and got a scan, and praise the Lord, he was able to come home. I think they were just kind of treating him at home with some medicine. But what a scare that was, I know, for the Simmons family. So if you would, just keep Carlton in your prayers and his family there. Just pray that that bleed will heal. I believe there is still a bleed there, but apparently it's something that will just heal on its own. And so they're just keeping an eye on that. And praise the Lord, he didn't have to have emergency surgery on that, which was the scare. That's kind of what Randy's daughter was telling me towards the beginning of the week. So praise the Lord for that. Also, I have a praise, praise that Deborah is feeling much better, as she had a bad cold last week. And so, praise the Lord, she's here and got my whole family here. So, praise the Lord for that. We're all feeling well. I don't know how long I'll keep them well, but for the moment, they're all here. So, praise the Lord for that. And just glad they're all feeling well right now. Also, if you would, keep Charlotte Grimm in your prayers. Charlotte was kind of sick as well last week and was just asking that you would be in prayer for her and that she would just feel better. I think there's a lot of seasonal things still going around, the flus and the colds and all that stuff. It's still out there. So Charlotte told me she didn't have COVID. Praise the Lord. She got tested for that, but she just had some type of virus, and that was the way with Deborah as well, just had some type of virus that was going around. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share right here?
Russia and Ukraine.
That's right. Thank you for sharing that. We want to continue to pray for the fighting that is happening there in Ukraine, and just pray for peace, don't we? We pray for peace, that the fighting will stop, and we pray for all those that were hurt and are being displaced, and the refugees, and so we just pray for that situation. Thank you for reminding us of that. Other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share?
Brady Shaw.
Scott, what'd you say?
Brady Shaw.
Brady Shaw, okay.
He broke his arm.
Okay. Sorry to hear about that. That's not anything you want to happen, so... Please, if you, yeah, 7 years old, that's tough. So we'll be praying for Brady and that arm. Good thing about it, when they're young like that, the bones seem to heal pretty quick. So we just pray that the healing works and he doesn't have any more trouble with that arm. Other praises or prayer requests? Anyone else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers to come forward now and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Our gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you this morning. Lord, we come here together, and Lord, we gather in this time of Lent. Lord, again, we are just reminded of just how wonderful a God and Savior you are to us. Lord, you loved us so much that you were willing to send your own Son here to this earth. And Lord, to be punished and endure the cruelty of a cross for each one of us. Lord, for our sin, for our wrongdoing. Lord, for our many mistakes. Lord, even the wrong thoughts that we have thought in our head, Lord, that our sin. Lord, you've taken away all these things from us because of the precious gift of your Son Jesus, his blood and his body that was shed there upon the cross for us. And Lord, it was a gift that you received, and Lord, that you forgave us of our sin because of his love for us. Lord, your Bible tells us, your word tells us that we love him because, Lord, you first loved us. And Lord, we see that love each and every day in our life. Not only through the cross, Lord, but every day that we wake up, put our feet upon the ground, Lord, and breathe in the air. Lord, we're reminded that you are truly watching over us and blessing us with life. Father, we lift up our prayer requests here this morning. Lord, we pray for Jean Armstrong this morning. We know that she wants to be with us, but Lord, we just pray that these treatments are going well, and Lord, we pray for different results, Lord, than the last treatments. We pray that these treatments are effective, Lord, and that the cancer is being fought back, and Lord, we just pray that you continue to give her strength, and Lord, that you encourage her even this week as we send birthday cards to her, and Lord, that that just helps lift her spirits to continue the battle, Lord, that she wages against this cancer. And Lord, that you wage against this cancer in your name, Lord. We pray for those upon our prayer list, Lord, in Ukraine. Lord, we think of all those families that are hurting, those that have lost loved ones, even those in our own community that are connected to that country. Lord, we just lift up each one of these families, Lord, knowing that you know the situation. You know the ins and outs, Lord, even way more than we do. And Lord, we just pray that you would have your will and your way in these difficult times. Pray for Carlton Simmons, Lord. Just pray that you would continue his healing. For Brady Scholl, Lord, just lift him up to you as well for the healing for his arm. And Lord, just the many unspoken prayers as well that we have amongst ourselves, Lord. There's many burdens that we're carrying and we bring to your altar here this morning. We just pray that you hear our prayer, Lord, and that you seek to heal us in those areas that need your healing. Lord, pray for our offertory too, Lord. Just thank you for the blessings, Lord, that we can give unto you. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to bless each giver as they have given from their heart. Lord, we praise you. We praise your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray these things together here this morning. Amen. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed now. Thank you for all those that are helping with that this morning. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? And we appreciate all their help and all the work that goes into that. And we appreciate all the kids being here, too. What a great thing. Okay, I want you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians, book of Ephesians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 18, and we're continuing on. This will be part 3 in our series looking at why does Easter matter? Why does Easter matter? So, looking here at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 18, it says, "Therefore remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, we've been talking, kind of building up here, why Easter is so important. Maybe you can think back and remember what I've said so far. I'll kind of go over some of this real quickly. What I've said is that for some, Easter doesn't matter, does it? For us, it does. For the Christian, it matters. For others, though, maybe it's just another holiday that people celebrate. This one just for them has chocolate bunnies and Easter egg hiding and Cadbury eggs and pink bunnies and all those sorts of things that they think of when it comes to Easter. But not for the Christian, right? It may not matter for the non-believer, but Easter certainly matters when it comes to the believer. It's everything. All that we have come to receive and gain in our Christian faith do we receive at Easter. Think of that. Our redemption, our salvation, our forgiveness of sin, our grace, our peace, our eternal promise and hope of heaven. All these things are received and given to us at Easter through the death, through the resurrection of Christ. We receive these things at Easter. So Easter doesn't matter to the non-believer, but to us who believe, it changes everything. Now, I've said already that Easter is the evidence of God's love. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's the evidence of God's love. Said you could say to someone over and over and over, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if there's no evidence of that love, what does it mean? There's no proof of it. There has to be something backing up our words. God says, I love you. And how did he prove it to us? He sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He gave us his Son. Now, Easter is the evidence of God's love, but Easter is also the proof of God's forgiveness. Talked about that last week, that we have proof, we have true evidence that this forgiveness was, this offering was not only offered for us, but that it was received, wasn't it? We don't serve a dead Savior, do we? Our Savior lives. Our Savior is risen from the grave. And we know that we are justified. Romans 4:25, he was delivered over for death, for our sins, but he was raised to life for our justification. The resurrection is how we know that our sins have been paid for, that we are just before God because Jesus was raised from the grave. And I've said that Easter is so central, it's so vital, it's so absolute, that without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, there would be no Christianity at all. If Jesus did not raise from the grave, our faith is in vain. Now, I want to add to your list here this morning of reasons why Easter is so important. And this is the next one. Easter is the restoration of relationship. It's the restoration of relationship. God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, grants to us, gives to us, a restoration of relationship between us and God. Now, our scripture points out here, I think two times, that there is this enmity. There's this division that exists between us and God. And that division is sin, isn't it? That thing that separates us from God is sin. The Bible is very clear that from the beginning, man being lost in sin, this brokenness existed between us and God. There was enmity between God and man. That the penalty of sin was a separation between God and man. What happened in the garden before there was sin? God came and walked with man there in the garden, didn't it? They communed together in the garden before Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. But what happened after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit? Could they stay in the garden any longer? Could God come down and walk with them and commune with them like He once did? There was a brokenness, wasn't there? There was a brokenness of relationship. Man and God didn't dwell together any longer like they did there in the garden. After they ate of the fruit, there was a brokenness. God told them they had to leave the garden. In fact, God put an angel to guard the garden that they could not enter back into that place anymore. It was cut off. There was a brokenness that existed from that place forward. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins has He hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." The Bible says the Lord is far from the wicked. The Bible says in Colossians 1:21, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your minds by your wicked works." But then it goes to say, "Yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." So even there in Colossians, it's talking about there was a brokenness, but that through the body of Christ, that is through Easter, the death, the sacrifice, the resurrection, that this brokenness, this enmity that existed between you and God is now brought back together again. Isn't that wonderful? There is a restoration of relationship through the cross of Christ, where we could not commune with God, we could not walk with God, we could not have that relationship with God. Now has God restored these two things back together. Now, in our scripture, I want you to see it actually gives us three examples of this restoration of relationship. Three examples here. You probably didn't notice it as you were reading through it, but as we look here, I want you to see it. First of all, was the dismissal of the division between the Jew and the Gentile. Look there in verse 11. "Therefore remember, you who were once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." This, of course, talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. "And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Then look up there at 15, verse 15. "Having abolished in His flesh the enmity," that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, "so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near." You know, the easiest way to understand the relationship between the Jew and the Gentile were using those two words, those who were afar off and those who were near. That's kind of how God seen it. The Gentiles were far off. They were without God. They were without the commonwealth, the common good of being a Jew. And then the Jew who was near to God, this far and near. There's a division there. And then the division that existed even between the Jew and the Gentile because of this. Those were near were different than those that were far and vice versa. You know, for thousands of years, this was the definition that God had for those who were Jewish and those who were Gentile. Those who were near God and those who were far away. But you know, when Jesus died on the cross, He said there's no longer a definition of those who are Gentile and Jew as those are near and far, but anyone who chooses to receive my Son Jesus can be near. He can be near. No more will people be seen as near and far based on whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, but now all people have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the division, this dividing factor is no longer an issue, but all have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. Okay, the second, not only is it the dismissal of division, but secondly, it is the destruction of the middle wall of separation. Look there at verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation. Again, there's the word division, separation between God and man. Now, how many of us know what this is talking about, this dividing wall of separation? Well, I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 27. Turn back there. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51. This is where you find Jesus on the cross. And He's dying here, and it says in verse 50 that Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. And then He yielded up the Spirit. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Now, if you were a Jew in that day, you would understand this wall of separation that existed between God and man really was embodied in a curtain in the temple that separated the most holy place, that is the place where God existed, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, that's where the Spirit of God dwelled over the Ark of the Covenant. Remember when the temple was, built and they anointed the temple, that a cloud of smoke literally filled the temple. And the people had to come out of it. They couldn't even stay in there because the Spirit of God dwelled within the temple in the most holy place. In the holies of holies is what it was called. And no man could enter into the holies of holies except once a year, a priest. And in fact, they would tie, that they would tie a rope upon the priest. That way, if he was not pure before God and God knocked him dead, that they could pull the priest back out of the holies as holies is kind of the tradition, Jewish tradition that says that. It doesn't tell you that in the scriptures, but Jewish tradition. But this place was a holy place, and this curtain was placed there to show that there was a division between God and man. There was a separation that existed between God and man. Man just couldn't walk into the holiest of places. It'd be certain death. God's a holy God. Just to be in the presence of God in our sinful state would be death. And so there was this wall of separation. But guess what happened when Jesus died on the cross. At the moment, at the very moment that Jesus cried out and his spirit was taken from him, the Bible says that amazing thing happened within the temple, that the curtain that represented the division between God and man was split from the top to the bottom. You know, I like that it was split from the top to the bottom because it shows that man didn't do it. If we was to split it, they'd split it from the bottom to the top, right? They were in the temple, they were splitting it, but it was split from the top to the bottom. God split that curtain. And it signified that there was no more division between you and God. We could enter into that most holy place, couldn't we? How do we enter into that most holy place? Through the blood of Christ Jesus. He's washed us clean, hasn't he? How's the old hymn go? He's washed me white as snow. That crimson blood. Washed me white as snow. Listen, our sins are forgiven. We are washed clean by the blood of Christ. And that thing that divided us, that enmity that was between us and God, is now gone. Because of the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the grave. Okay, listen. The first one, the dismissal of the division between the Jews and the Gentiles. Second, the destruction of the middle wall of separation. And lastly here, this declaration by which we now have access to God through one Spirit. Look at verse 18 there. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Here is this declaration that we now can come into the presence of God. This repaired relationship between God and man, that we now have access right into that heavenly realm there in heaven through Christ. You know, you might not realize this, but you acknowledge that every time you pray, more than likely every time you pray, that Jesus has restored a relationship between you and God, that your prayers enter into heaven. And how do you end your prayers? How do we end our prayers here at church? We pray this in Jesus' name. Why do we say that? Is that just a click phrase that we're using in the church? Man, it sounds good. Let's get something clicky here that really sounds good. Why do we say, in Jesus' name, I pray this? Listen, you pray that because you're making acknowledgement that your prayers, that your relationship with God is restored through Christ Jesus. You're acknowledging that every time you pray. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. The Bible says that Christ is in heaven making intercession on our behalf. He's this in between. Through the blood of Christ, can we enter into the most holy place? Through Christ interceding on our behalf, is our prayers heard before the Father? Jesus is before the Father pleading our case. Isn't that wonderful? You have an advocate, don't you? You think, my prayers aren't heard? Listen, friends, your prayers are being pleaded before the Father by Christ Jesus Himself. And you pray in Jesus' name, you're making acknowledgement of that. That there's a restored relationship that through Christ Himself, do we have access unto God. We're not divided from God anymore, friends. There was a time before Christ where there was a division between God and man, but now that is all gone. Jesus has healed the division between God and man through His own blood, through His own body. Are we healed? Listen, God's goal through the death and the resurrection of Jesus was to restore a relationship between you and God. That's the purpose of it. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be in a friendship, in a relationship, in a loving connection with Him. You know, one of the most important things I've come to realize in my Christian faith, I think one of the most important things in my Christian faith is that God is not just pleased with religion. What he wants is relationship. There's a lot of religious things we do in the church. Someone could come in and say, well, you're doing this unit, praying this thing, religious, sacraments, ordinances, all these things that are taking place in the church. These are religious activities, right? And these are religious activities that we do. But God is not simply pleased in religious activities. He wants relationship. You think Jesus died on the cross just so you can go through religious sacraments and ordinances? Listen, religion is cold. It's stale. It's distant. That's not what God is wanting. Christ didn't sacrifice himself just so we could have religion. God wants a relationship with you. He wants your heart. He wants you to talk to him like you talk to other people you have a relationship with. He wants you to give your heart to him. Religion is cold, friends. If you think you're pleasing God by religious activities, you are mistaken. Just coming to church, just doing the religious activities in your life is not something that God is pleased with. We can have all the religious ordinances and sacraments that we want, but if we have no relationship with Christ, friends, we failed. We've missed the opportunity that God seeks to give us, which is he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your passion. Religion is cold. It's dead. Relationship is passion. Religion is distant. It's unemotional. It's going through the motions of things. Relationship is personal. God wants us in a personal relationship. How many of us ever had a personal relationship with a block of wood or a brick wall? How many of us have a real deep connection with a brick wall? Why? Well, there's no connection with a wall. It's cold. It's no life in it. And sometimes I think we offer to God the same sort of relationship, a brick wall or a block of wood. No, not really expressing our heart or giving our love in that relationship that God wants. It's just so cold and dead. God says, I've died so that we could have a relationship. Jesus died and rose again, friends, so that he could have a personal relationship with you. Let me ask you an important question here this morning. How do you relate to God? And then how does God relate to you? How do you seek to relate to God in your life? How are you building that relationship between you and God? You know, I'm reminded of this every time I think about relationship with God. I'm reminded that I sat on a ministry board one time that was interviewing new ministers that were coming in. And I asked the minister, this young fellow that was seeking ordination in the church, and I asked him the question, that very same question, tell me about your relationship with God, how God relates to you and how you relate to God. I want to hear about his relationship with Jesus. If you're going to be a minister, you should have a relationship with Jesus, shouldn't you? He goes to telling me, well, okay, theology. Well, we have forgiveness of sin through Christ's shed blood, taking me through a history lesson of the theology of how we're saved, substitutionary death of Christ, blah, 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 blah. I said, hold on. I just want to simply hear about your relationship with Jesus. I'm not looking for a theology lesson on how you're saved. Tell me about your relationship with Jesus. You know, he couldn't do it. He could not get past that it was just theology. It was just religion. It was just bah, 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 bah. What I wanted to hear is I wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for this glorious day that you've given me. I seek to live out my life today to honor you somehow. Help me somehow to be a witness. The simple things of a relationship, an actual relationship between this man and God. I don't need a theology lesson. I want to know that you and God commune with one another. And that's what God wants. Listen, that's what God wants from you. Don't just have religion in your life. It's dead. It's not pleasing to God. Actually, have a relationship with him. That's what he died for. That's what his son was dying on the cross for. That you could actually have a connection, a relationship with God. Look at verse 19 in your scripture. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You are therefore no more strangers. That's the relationship God wants. He doesn't want you to be a stranger. He wants it to be a personal relationship between you and God. How are you relating to God? And how are you seeking God to relate to you? Not religion, friends. Relationship. Relationship. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this scripture. Lord, we thank you for the three illustrations you give us here in this scripture. Lord, remind us that this enmity, this division that once existed between us and you, it no longer is there. But Lord, we're free now to come and seek you with our whole hearts. And Lord, isn't that what you told us you wanted, that you wanted our whole hearts? Lord, I pray that we've not been seeking you through a cold religion, through religious activities or these sorts of things, but Lord, that we are seeking you with our whole hearts. And Lord, seeking to love you even as you have loved us. Father, you loved us to the point that you were willing to die for us upon a cross. Lord, may our hearts be filled with that same love today, that same devotion, that same commitment to you as you showed to us. Help us, Lord, to seek that true relationship that comes through knowing our Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise him here this morning. We worship his name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, let's turn now in our hymnal to page 213, Because He Lives. It's a beautiful hymn. Let's stand together and sing. Page 213.
Thank you.
Amazing hymn. Boy, we have a wonderful future, don't we, because He lives. We have the assurance, oh, just the wonderful things that we know because He lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the living Savior in which we serve. Father, we thank You. We thank You that we can face uncertain days, Lord, because our Savior lives. Lord, we thank You the relationship that we have with You. Lord, we thank You that You have restored to us all these wonderful things. Not that we're deserving of it, Lord, but because You loved us. I pray each person here today is in a loving relationship with their Savior, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that right now, that each person here has received Jesus as their personal Savior. Lord, the friend that they have to walk with. What a friend, Lord, that we have in Jesus. Lord, if there's some person here, Lord, that hasn't received You as their personal Savior, I pray they pray with me right now. Lord, I confess my sins, Lord. I confess that I'm a sinner, Lord. I confess that there's division between You and me. But Lord, I know that Your Son Jesus died, Lord, to restore that relationship that was broken. Lord, I receive now Your Son Jesus as my personal Savior. And Lord, I turn from my sin, seeking to follow now His Word and to be obedient to the Holy Spirit in which I receive. Father, as much as a person's prayed that right now, Lord, they have entered in to that relationship. And Lord, I just pray now that You help them to continue to build on that and grow that relationship, even as You're working and doing in our own relationship through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise His name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.